Welcome, everyone, to another episode of The Jonathan Project, where iron is sharpening iron. Our purpose here is simple, trying to help men navigate the complex times that we live in to have better relationships with those around them. And we take the biblical Jonathan's example of loyalty and faith with his friend and future King David as the inspiration for this podcast. So let's get into today's show. Jason, welcome. Thanks for being my partner in crime yet again. Yeah. How has it been going for you?
Man, it's been going great. As you know, I'm reintegrating back into work, and that is absolutely interesting.
Yeah.
But interesting in another podcast. It's good to see you.
It's good to see you, too. I know we talked quite a bit. You know, this past couple of weeks has just been absolutely rough from, you know, to give the audience an update. Like, and I think we're going to cover the topic maybe not this season. I don't know. Maybe in a future season, but you know, some of the things that, you know, me and my family have faced this past week, I want to make sure I talk about it, but I got to process a little bit more. So glad to be here on a Saturday morning. I know everyone that's listening to this, it would be Tuesday morning for you, but me and Jason are up early on a Saturday. So Jason, we're going to kick off a two-part episode for all you folks out there listening. And really what we're calling this is the journey to become the man that God desires. So we want to kind of just lay out that blueprint. Like, how do you get to that point? Practical steps, talking about some specific things, fatherhood, and some different things along the way of how you become that man that God can use and that he really desires. So, Jason, give us our initial thoughts and get us started here.
So initially, I was doing some research about why this is important. You know, not only is it about your growth for becoming the man that God wants you to be, but at the same time, you have an impact and you have an influence, right, outside of yourself. A lot of times it amazes me that we will tolerate things for ourselves, but we may not tolerate things for our family. Like for me, my old truck, if the air conditioner goes out, I'll just roll the windows down, but I want my family to have that air conditioning. So I'll spend extra money and get it fixed, right?
Yeah.
But the same. Go ahead, Cole.
No, I was just saying, I was agreeing with you. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
So at the same time, I did some research and I found an interesting article from the Baptist Press and the Promise Keepers. They did some research and basically it said that if a dad doesn't go to church, one in 50, the odds are one in 50 that is one of the children will go to church later, right? Mm-hmm. But if a dad does attend, they've got like a 60 to 70% chance that later in life, he will, even if the mom doesn't. There was some further research that talked about if a child is saved at a home, there's a 3.5% probability that the rest of the family will come to know Christ. If it's just the mom, it goes up to like 20%, but with a dad, it goes up to 93%. That is a large statistical increase, and it absolutely is. As dads, you have children, you have family, on your way to becoming the man that God wants you to be, understand that you're the protector, right? And you have to think, do I want my children to be better than me? And if that answer is yes, then you need to get on board and understand where you are in God's plan, right?
Yeah.
You got a big vote. It's not like I've got the psychology of TV, which I think is extremely interesting. You see how the role of the father has declined over time in TV. But in reality, you have a very powerful impact on your family, whether you believe it or not. So was kind of my thoughts. Go ahead.
No, I think that's good. And it's really a good tee off for helping us as men. We've all been there. I'm still there. You're there as fathers is one of those biggest things that the Bible and the Lord commands from us, right? Raise up your children in the fear and admonition of the Lord, right? That's what we're called to do. And that falls on the shoulders of a man. You know, and as we give you this path and this journey over these next two episodes, we really want to start us off with thinking about who is Jesus, right? And I think we all kind of know and have a good understanding of that, but I want to put it into a good perspective of helping you guys out there understand it really drives everything in your life, that understanding of who Jesus is. So Jesus is called by many titles in the Bible, but he is the essential element of life. He is life. He is the definition of life. He is the creator of all life, and he's given us freedom, and he came to give us freedom when he died on the cross over death, hell, and the grave, and he resurrected and gave us eternal life through him. And so it's understanding of that. If we put that into perspective and say, okay, building block number one is understanding that all life flows and stems through Jesus Christ. Whether a person believes that or not, doesn't change the fact that is how the reality is. And the Bible says, describes him as, you know, Paul says it in Ephesians 4 and 13 and 6. He wants us being the church, to mature and look like Jesus. And then in Colossians 3 and 3 through 4, we're told that our lives are hidden with Christ in God. And the peace of Christ rules our hearts, and the word of Christ dwells in us. And whenever we do in word or deed, we're doing it all in the name of Jesus Christ, which was Colossians 3, 15 through 17. I say all of that is, so step one is understanding that, one, we all have been sinners and fallen short of the mark is what the Bible tells us. And we need Jesus. And if you want to have a life that's driven by purpose, that you have a family that's driven to do well, to succeed, and to be at the highest potential, it all starts with accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And so that's what I want to kind of tee up initially for you guys to think about. Step one, you have to have a relationship with the creator of all life if you want to understand and to get through this very difficult physical life that we're living here on earth. Because John 10:10 says he came, he being Jesus, not only to give you life in the present, but to give you life abundantly. And you find that in him. So Jason.
No, I love that. And also, I'll just throw in my country wisdom on this. So at the end of the day, as guys are listening to this and you go, hey, that really did strike with me, I need to make it to church on Sunday, and we're going to start on Sunday. Don't ever forget this right here. The first guy to win the golden ticket into heaven, like the straight up Willy Wonka golden ticket, was the thief on the cross. Guess what, guys? He didn't come down to get baptized. He didn't come down to walk the aisle. He's like, hey, this is it. Jesus goes, you'll be with me. So the moment you make that conscious choice, you belong to him. When you do that, you go, this is it. It's really that simple. It amazes me that words are so very tough. I've seen some extremely strong men deadlift a lot of weight, clean and press a lot of weight, do some physically phenomenal things. But speaking those words of, hey, I welcome you into my life. I'm a sinner. I can't make it to heaven without you. Please be Lord and Savior of my life. It seems to be the most difficult, but here you are. So you're on this road, right? I love what you said. And, you know, I think about this is dads and husbands. We all are going to make mistakes in being this. Colby, do you know, this is really sad, but it is some irony. So there's this guy, Bobby Leach, the second guy to go over Niagara in a barrel. Apparently that was super popular. He was the second guy to do it. The first one was a woman who did it in 1901, but, you know, because of society, she didn't get a lot of credit.
Sure.
But Bob, this guy, Mr. Leach, did. You know, he slipped on an orange peel and died.
A guy that's going to put himself in the barrel is probably going to end in some random, strange way.
Random, strange way, right?
Yeah.
Hey, guys, we're all going to make mistakes. Yeah. We're all going to step on orange peels. We're all going to be heroes one moment. We're going to be zeros the next. But I think as we go forward on this, you got to own those moments. Hey, I made a mistake. I've made a mistake. I've made mistakes in front of my kids. And you know what? I come back and I'm like, hey, you're right. I probably shouldn't have said that. I probably shouldn't have acted that way. God knows I'm wrong. I've asked him to forgive me. I did wrong. Let's move forward.
Yeah. I think for a lot of guys, you know, there's a lot of pains and hurts and traumas, right, that we've all experienced. But I think for men, sometimes it's hard to get past those and understand that the pursuit of happiness is not rolled up into stuff. You're not going to be able to fill that pain, that void, that hurt, right, and live the life that you're really called to do, to really maximize your talents and skills outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ. I mean, I really can't emphasize that enough. And it's something that it took me a while to understand, that, you know, without Jesus, it didn't matter how well I did, whatever I was doing, how well my career, military career might have been going, there was something else, right? Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of guys, myself included, we can fall into that trap of the pursuit of stuff which we call happiness. Mm-hmm. I saw a really interesting interview from a famous basketball player. His name is Gilbert Arenas. And he's retired at 32 years old. And he was worth $100 million. And what he said was, is he was absolutely miserable. He would literally drive from his house to downtown LA, put over 30,000 miles on his car in 1 year because he didn't have a purpose. You say, well, why are you saying all that? Well, it kind of just bridges into what your next step is your purpose is tied not to a career path, right? He is going to use your talents, most definitely. He will use your skill set, but what he wants is your heart. And in that finding your heart and walking with him, as the Bible tells us to do, then you find your sense of purpose, right? And I think that's something that we all need reminders from time to time. You can have a lot of money and you can be absolutely miserable.
No, you got a great point. When guys, and we talked about this in the previous one about titles, when guys introduce themselves, they usually espouse their character to, well, this is my job, right? That shouldn't be it. And what your leadoff should be is I'm a Christian. That should be the who you are, right? I loved Abraham Lincoln said people are like trees, you know, the shadow is your reputation. The fruit is what you produce, but your roots are your character. Your roots should be Christianity. My relationship with Jesus Christ is anchored right here. Right? Yeah. I love that. When you think about pursuing different things in life, and we all get caught up in it, right? I need to have this. I need to do this. I need to do this. Amazon's a multi-billion dollar business. Apparently, we need a lot of stuff, right?
Yeah.
But if you're ever reading the Bible, Ecclesiastes is nicely nested right after Proverbs. I'll tell you, it's where Solomon reflects back on his life, and the Bible records him as being the wisest man who ever lived. You know, it's his historical account is that silver was extremely plentiful. History tells us that it was just a phenomenal time of prosperity. Solomon's reflection upon it, that's the most depressing book I've ever read in my life. Like, it is to me. I'm like, oh my god!
Yeah, it's interesting. I would not pick that one as the man, the roughest one. Job steals that one in my mind. But go ahead, man.
As Solomon is reflecting on, you know, everything he's pursued and how it's just vanity. He even says this about his work. He goes, "Hey, man, work as much as you want. I'm gonna summarize it. Work as much as you want. The day you hand that off to somebody, they're gonna take it in whatever direction they want to go."
Yeah.
Because it'll be probably opposite of what you wanted.
Yeah.
You know, it's, yeah, on my little LinkedIn account, I put something up like, hey, it's Friday, go home to be with your family. For all these guys that pursue your job, being a fan of organizational psychology, understand this, when you quit, when you retire, they're going to fill your seat. They're going to put a job announcement out in probably about 24 hours, right? They really are. You're going to go home and you're going to be with the people that you're going to be with your family and friends. Hopefully you've created that relationship, right? And so I highly encourage you to invest proportionately as to your return.
Yeah.
Spend time with your kids, spend time with your family. Go ahead.
No, I mean, you bring up a good point, you know, and if we want to become the man that Jesus desires, right, it's a process. It is continued. And that's why we said the journey, right, to becoming the man that God desires as we kicked off the episode is because it is just that. There's peaks, there's valleys, there's bumps in the road. There's a reason why Jesus describes the way following him, which he is the way, is narrow, right? It is not something that's easy. And it goes back to the last episode we talked about. You can't do this alone. And number one, you need to bring those burdens and those things and put them on your Christian man rucksack, which is the cross, because that's where you will find your sense of a purpose and help. The primary responsibility that we have, that Jesus charges all of us, but, you know, men specifically here as the head of the house and the head of the communities, is to abide in the source of life, to abide with Jesus, which means building a relationship, spending that time, because then it helps you be a better father. It helps you understand your children, their needs, their gaps, what, and guide them and paint a picture for them of what their relationship with the Father and through Jesus can be. So, you know, as we think about finding your purpose, you know, I've had a lot of people, Jason, over the last probably 6 years, as crazy as that sounds to me, from when I was sitting in that South Korean hotel watching a show that I couldn't understand what was going on, and I got the urge to pick up an even older laptop. I was telling Jason, I was like, I got an old laptop, so I have to have a separate mic. But 6 years ago, I did. And here I am all those years later. And people still ask me, like, how did you know that, you know, writing, as I call it, this writing ministry, which is now morphed into really, you know, podcasts, a blog, and writing books, how did you know that that was your calling? And I would say, it's not my calling. And people will pause and say, well, what do you mean? I'm like, well, if I couldn't write books anymore, let's say that I wrote my last book, and which is not the case, everyone out there wondering, I'm working on it. But let's say I couldn't write books anymore. Let's say that, you know, I lost all my social media accounts. Let's say that we didn't do this podcast. If I sit there and I tie it, my will and purpose in life, to these things and not to the source of life, which is Jesus, then that leaves you in a problem. I say all of that to tie it back to your career, which is probably one of the biggest things for men, for all of us. And we've had those moments. Don't tie yourself and purpose and your worth to something that Jesus doesn't tie your purpose and worth to. Go ahead, Jason.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. So if you go all the way back to Genesis, when Adam and Eve get kicked out of the garden, God tells him, says, you know what? You're going to till the earth. He tells him straight up, you're going to till the earth. You're going to do these things. And then he looks at Eve and he goes, and you're going to chase after him. What he is saying, and you can absolutely extrapolate this, is men get caught up in their work. And they get caught up as that's their identity. Absolutely. The first step in this whole process is understanding your identity and going forward. Once you understand that, it changes your worldview. It really does. And I thought a lot about this the other day as we're kind of talking. When you become a Christian, you become a new creature. Mm-hmm. And what that really means is when you're a brand new creature, your worldview changes. It really does. The Bible even goes on to say, hey, you have, who is forgiven much, forgives a lot. That's a change in your worldview, because you change how things are, the recompensation for wrongs, right? Yeah. Is really the best way to put it. But it also, it changes your priorities. I love when God is talking and he describes Abraham in Genesis. And he says, you know what? He'll tell his children about us. Mm-hmm. And I love that. As a dad now, my life has absolutely changed. I'm, you know, I've got older kids, but my focus quit being about the things that I could acquire or the races that I could win, or so forth. But it's about investing in my salvation, which, you know, is absolutely free. But it's investing in those future generations and making sure. To me, that's success. Hey, if my kids know Christ, and then that. Their kids know Christ. I love that.
No, I like that, Jason. I think you gave a whole sermon just in that little part that you said about success is really something that a lot of us as men, we quantify as the tangible, what I can touch, what I can see. And me and you both know this, and we've seen this from men in our military careers where they burn the candle down. They go all out for Stars and Stripes and old Uncle Sam, and the family's just this scorched earth behind them. And the saddest thing is to see a guy put in 20, 30 years with Uncle Sam. They give you a little flag, they pat you on the back, and then they've already moved on and they already filled your position.
Yeah.
But your children now, you don't have that relationship with. You know, and this is one of the first things that we're talking about on this journey, is that's one of the first callings that the Bible lays out for us, is to raise your children in the fear and admonition of the Lord, right? And the reason is because that's where success is found. As we said, Jesus is the source of life. And so that's the kind of character that we hope to aim and build as we go on this journey, is your purpose. Your purpose is found in him. and you will have different tasks, different arenas, you know, call it your career, your skills, your attributes that will help you along that purpose. But your purpose, make no doubt about it, is the discipleship, is to bring others along. And number one, if you're blessed to have a family and children, that's where it starts. So that's where your ministry starts. Go ahead, buddy.
No, you had an interesting topic when, because, you know, we absolutely, you know, we kind of grew up in the era of, I absolutely remember 9/11 and so forth, and the things of being called and doing the right thing and stepping up to the plate. Throughout these years, I've had to have a discussion with a lot of guys as we talked, right? Like, I've looked at them and said, you are called to be a Green Beret. I got it. That's what we are called to do.
Mm-hmm.
Your kids were not. Your wife is not. Mm-hmm. So what I expect from you is very different than what you should expect from your children.
Yeah.
So as a dad, you know, I had to explain to guys, your kids aren't Green Berets. You know what? Don't treat them like one, and don't, just because you make sacrifices, don't make them make additional sacrifices. Now, they're going to make sacrifices just with the nature, but have that thought that, you know, you still have to guide them along the way and be a little bit more sensitive to how it impacts them, right?
No, absolutely.
I think you hit the nail on the head when you talk about your families. So I love this study. Haywood and Krauss did a study. It's a 34-year longitudinal study. Now, a longitudinal study is the golden standard, because I'm watching the same set of guys for a long time. It was from 71 to 2005. What they found out was is children who were raised in a Christian home and attended service regularly, even in adult, early adulthood, right? Like their attendance may go down just a little. They may go down, you know, because they're trying to figure out their life. But towards middle adulthood, when stability kicks in, it goes right back up. And then in older adulthood, it goes right back up. Just like the Bible says, you train a child up in that way, and they'll return.
Yeah.
And that's, so as a dad or as a parent on your route to becoming the man that God wants you to be, you have to understand you've got to bring others along with you as your family, right? That's pretty tough for guys, you know? Yeah. A lot of guys think, man, if I don't have all the right answers, I don't need to talk. And that's not true.
No, and that's just a lie that the adversary wants to tell us, right? You know, along those ways, and this is why I say, like, step one, as we laid it out, was you got to know the Lord. And then step two is you got to lean into and trust in Him to find your purpose. And so, you know, Proverbs 3:5-6, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. That should tell us something all right there. As men, you're going to have many paths. You can't say this one career if it doesn't work out. You can't say this one place or whatever the case may be that you may be focusing on and you think defines who you are. If you trust and lean into the Lord, He's going to direct you to where exactly you need to be and help you bring along on that path of walking with Him, your family. You know, God desires for us, and it's amazing that He uses walk quite a bit, because when you're walking with someone, if you really just break it down really simply, you're having the ability to stay with them in unison, and you're having the ability to communicate with them. When you're running, yeah, some you can do it for a while, but at some point, you're going to run out of steam. There's a reason why we see God was walking with Adam, why He talks about walking, because it keeps you in step, and it keeps you aligned with where He's trying to take you. No one's ahead. No one's falling behind. We're walking together to get through this.
I used to have a guy that said, if you were able to carry on a conversation while you were running, you weren't running fast enough. And
I've heard that once before.
Yeah. I stopped being a fan of running because I always come back to the same spot. So it's, you know, like, why am I running? I'm just coming right back here. Plus, you know, I think it builds muscle memory. So when things go bad, you're like, oh, I need to run away. Stick with the deadlift. I like it a lot. But, you know, you're absolutely right. You're walking with somebody. It's a simple, basic concept. You know, we're walking together, walk with the Lord. I think for a lot of dads and a lot of parents, and when you talk about where's you are and where's your purpose, God puts no more on you than you can bear, right? So if you're lifting heavy, that's awesome. You know, you're a heavy lifter. But it's a building block, right? And I do think that you got to stick with the basics. Like you said, hey, Jesus Christ, that's my Lord and Savior. I love the story about Elijah where he heals Naaman of leprosy, right? In the Old Testament. And he comes out and he says, yeah, you know, first he wouldn't even see Naaman. And he goes, I just tell him to go bathe in Jordan River. Of course, Naaman's all mad, and he goes, there's cleaner rivers in Syria and all this other stuff. Why am I doing this? Because Naaman was a big warrior. He's really a big guy, both, you know, in that culture of Syria, as well as just physically a big guy. But he had leprosy, right? And so he goes, he won't do it. And the guy looks at him and says, if it was something big, you'd do it. He says, just go take a bath.
Yeah.
So he does it, and he comes up the seventh time. He's super clean. He goes back to Elijah, and he says, oh, my gosh. I love this. And he says, I've got a problem, though. When the king wants to kneel down, the Syrian king wants to kneel down in the temple, these pagan gods, he's, you know, I kneel down so he can put his hand on my shoulder. Yeah. Because I want some dirt to carry with me so I can put it under my knee. Well, what it ties to, if you dig the story, is that they believed that gods were provincial. They stayed in a local area. So he was going to take God with him.
Yeah.
And I love the fact when Elijah looks at him, and Elijah knows that God is God of everything. He created it all. Elijah knows this. He's a prophet. And he says, take the dirt with you. Like, you have the big rock right there. You have the big answer of Jesus is my Lord and Savior, right? The rest of it will come along. Stick with that first, the basics. They work. Any special forces guy will tell you, or special operations, tell you, I'm really good at the basics. If you remember in the 80s and 90s when the Soviet Union, they'd have their Spetsnaz doing flips and throwing shovels and all this crazy stuff. Yeah, listen, if you're ever looking for me to do a flip and throw a shovel, I'm probably trying to get it out of the way of me from falling on it. But it kind of reminds me of the old Indiana Jones when the guy comes out with the sword and he's doing all this stuff and Indy just pulls out his pistol and shoots him. Yeah. Stick with the basics. I'm a fan of them, right?
Yeah.
When we get down this thing, I mean, John 3:16, that's a good basic. John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Stick with it.
Yeah.
You may not have all the answers, but dads, parents, you better get to leading. Yeah. Walk with them. Explore it together. Yeah. Open the Bible up. Go, man, I don't know that answer. Let's see what it says.
Yeah, absolutely.
No.
Go ahead. No, sorry.
No. So I do. I love your, where does God call you to be? You know, get on board and then get that purpose and walk going. You're an ambassador, right?
Yeah.
So go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, kind of my closing thoughts on it is, you know, the first step, yes, you have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's where it flows. And then the second thing that is, understanding that as you're trying to figure out what am I supposed to do in life, how can I impact the kingdom for Jesus, it's pretty simple. He asks you just to walk with him and trust him. And, you know, and the attitude and conditions of your heart, well, amazingly, the Bible's kind of helped you understand that as a man of how to go about when you face challenges and problems. You find it in 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Always be joyful. Never stop praying and be thankful in all circumstances. So as you're walking down that road, think about it. If you're walking with Jesus, he's saying, hey, let's be joyful. We're getting rained on right now, Lord. What's going on? Keep walking. Hey, this is happening. Finances are going bad. Relationships are going bad. Child is sick. Never stop praying. I've already told you. You know, be thankful in all these circumstances. Well, I don't have a job right now. I don't have this. I don't have that, right? Trust me, and I will provide for you, right? And then I think about something from a character perspective as well, as we tie off the first two steps on this becoming the man that God desires is, you know, Micah 6:8, I talked about this last week, and he says from the NIV, he has shown you, O mortals, the Lord has told you what is good and what he requires of you. So when you're asking and thinking like, okay, what does he require of me? This is a good verse to kind of put and commit to heart, to act justly and to love mercy and to walk. Again, key word here, we talked a lot about walking and to walk humbly with the God who is and will be Jesus Christ, right? So understanding that aspect of the character and attitude that we have as we go on this path that will help you as you face surely the challenges. I face the challenges. Jason faces challenges as we go through becoming the man that God desires.
I think that's awesome. I love how you said, you know, to act justly and things like that. I think for guys right now, as you get ready and you think about, okay, well, it's not just me, but I've also got my family along with this. You never know the impact you make on somebody. If somebody said, hey, I'm a brand new Christian, I watched a young couple in the bookstore the other day. They were looking for a devotional to work together. I loved it. Have a devotional time together. Figure it out together. Because it's almost, you have to have some humbling, because as parents, we're like, absolutely, we need to be smarter than our kids so we can help guide them. But the truth is, if you're all babes in Christ, then you all get milk together.
Yeah.
Right. It's not something to be shameful. It's shameful if 6 months from now you're still a babe in Christ.
Right. Right.
But acting justly, if you're a new creature, you're a new creature. You know, I love the fact of, hey, have dinner together. Say the blessing together. Give thanks together. Pray at night together. But you don't know who's watching you, what the kids are doing. They'll notice if there's a real change or not. My grandfather, years ago, you know, of all the things in the world, this sticks in me. We went through a drive-thru at Jack's. I absolutely love Jack's, by the way. It's one of my favorite foods. But I'm going through there, and they gave us an extra hamburger, right? And we're pulling away. And I'm like, well, they gave us extra hamburger. I was a young kid. My grandfather, and of course, I'm pretty happy because I like to eat. And I'm all excited. And he stops the truck, gets out, walks back in there and gives it to him. And then comes back out. And I'm like, what happened? And he goes, hey, I didn't pay for that. That ain't mine.
Yeah.
And it stuck with me about acting justly.
Yeah.
You know? No, I think as you get ready to do this, it's not just your own personal journey, but who those you bring along with you, especially as a dad.
Yeah. Well, no, that was a great way to tie a bow onto episode 2 here. Next week, we're going to dive into the second part of the Becoming a Man. So look forward to that as we do every week. You can find us, the Jonathan Project Podcast, on Apple, Spotify, iTunes, Pandora, you name it, all the big platforms where you find your podcast. You can find us every Tuesday. New episodes will be coming to you. And we always like to throw out shout out to all those that are supporting us, praying for us. If you have comments or feedbacks, I really want to encourage you. You can send an email if you're wanting prayer, something's going on. You can send an email to the Jonathan Project Podcast at gmail.com. Again, the Jonathan Project Podcast at gmail.com. And I promise you, we'll get back to you. So, Jason, I want to thank you again for your time, spending a little time with me here, and all the encouragement and prayers that you've given me throughout the week and being one of my key Jonathans in my life. So thanks.
No, I appreciate it, buddy. Same here. All right. Take care.
All right. Take care. We'll be right back.